It was Christmas Eve, 1953. Sergeants Friday and Smith from the television series Dragnet were called upon to investigate the theft of a baby Jesus from a California church nativity display. Unable to solve the crime, the officers tell the priest that Mass must be celebrated without the baby Jesus. Well, the figurine is ultimately restored when a boy arrives with baby Jesus in a wagon. He tells the officers that he had vowed if he got a wagon for Christmas, baby Jesus would be the first to have the ride. Baby Jesus theft is an enduring and illegal practice. The prevalence of such thefts has caused the owners of public and outdoor manger scenes to protect their property with surveillance cameras. Some have even gone so far as to implant a GPS tracking device in the baby Jesus. Nativity theft is apparently a fairly common thing. So do we have baby Jesus in our scene? Not just in the nativity scene, but in our lives throughout the year. Where is baby Jesus? Where is Jesus? Has he disappeared? And how do we make room for Jesus in our life beyond this celebration? In addressing these questions, we might want to look at what and who we make room for in general. We certainly make room for our family, our spouse, our children, and even extended family. And many of us are here this morning attending as families. So Christmas is many things to many different people. And the degree of religious sentiment attached to it varies considerably. But still, Christmas is often, if not usually, a time when the family comes together. And although the family is together at Christmas, it is subject to many modern stressors that can fracture family relationships. Family members, whether they be spouses, children, parents, grandparents, probably got gifts last night, maybe gifts this morning. But presents do not equal presence, and the former cannot be a substitute for the latter. So while we make room in our lives for family, sometimes the forces associated with our lifestyle make this difficult to manage well as much as we want to. But we also make room not just for family, but for many other things. We make room for television and gaming. We make room for online surfing on Pinterest, Facebook, and other sites. We make room for hobbies. We make room for eating out. And it's wonderful that we make room for all of these things. And all of these things can be and should be blessings in our lives. But all of these things for which we make room, the Christmas feast calls us to connect and to link them to a larger purpose and meaning. And who is that meaning? Who is the purpose? Well, baby Jesus is the purpose and the meaning. Without room for Jesus, without the spiritual connection, without that longing to be in relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his Son, we are just doing fun things until we die and it's all over. Having baby Jesus in the nativity scene brings great joy. good news and tidings of great joy. With Jesus in our scene, our lives are suddenly purposeful. We have direction. We tag on to his values. We value what he valued. We live for someone and something outside of ourselves, and that's a good thing. Jesus came to earth, after all, for a reason. He came to find those who were lost. He came to fill the emptiness. He came to point the way, the truth, and the life. He came to reveal God. He came that we might have life and have it abundantly. We are not secularists who want nothing to do with Jesus. This year, as I mentioned at our Advent Masses, we are giving each family and household a Christmas gift, donated by a parishioner who chooses to remain anonymous. The gift is Matthew Kelly's latest book, The Biggest Lie in the History of Christianity. Kelly writes about how our modern culture, secular world, is robbing billions of people of meaning, purpose, and happiness. The myriad of lies that have always swirled around Christianity have sown doubt in the hearts and minds and eroded the faith of millions. This lie is not one that non-Christians tell. It's a lie we tell ourselves as Christians. And the lie is, holiness is not possible for you or for me. And we can demolish this diabolical lie in our hearts, minds, and souls and church communities by creating what Kelly calls holy moments. And he defines a holy moment as a moment when you open yourself to God. You make yourself available to him, as you are doing this Christmas morning. You set aside what you feel like doing in that moment, and you set aside self-interest, and for one moment, you simply do what you prayerfully believe God is calling you to do in that moment. It's believing what will bring the most good to the most people in that moment. Solving the case of the missing Jesus, the baby Jesus, will be found in the holy moments of our lives.